telling some people this story. I don't think I've told it at church yet, though. Young man comes to his dad, and he says, "Hey, Dad, I'm ready to get married. I met the right girl." And Dad says, "You're not ready to get married." He goes, "What? Listen, old man, I know I'm ready to get married." He goes, "Listen, son, you're not ready to get married. Listen, old man, I'm ready to get married. You can't tell me what to do." He says, "You apologize." "What for?" He says, "You apologize." "What for?" He says, "You apologize." He says, "I'm not apologizing until you tell me what for." "See, you're not ready to get married."
That was a good one.
I just, John liked that one. All right. John approved. I want to tell you a little story today. I've told this story before, but in the light of a lot of what's going on right now, I just really feel like it's maybe relevant for us to think about, and I want to encourage everyone as much as I can, because God's up to something, and I want to catch it. I feel like there's a wave going on, and I want to catch it. So today's message is entitled "Catch the Wave," and here's the little story. Any of you ever hear the name Edward Kimball? Remember Edward Kimball? You all ought to remember Edward Kimball. You're looking at me like funny. Okay. Well, I really wouldn't expect you to remember Edward Kimball, because he was just a volunteer Sunday school teacher quite a few years ago. That's all he was. And Kimball had a class of boys. And if you've ever had a class of just boys, boys can be pretty wild, you know? I know we think that boys are worse today than they were before. They're really not. Boys are just boys. You know, you get a bunch of little boys together, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and they're just wild. These boys might have been a little older than that. In fact, I think they were. And then they can be more wild when they're junior high and just early high school and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, one young man in particular didn't seem to understand the gospel that Kendall had been sharing. And so Kimball went to the shoe store. Back in the day that Kimball was alive, which was, like I said, a little while back, some kids would get jobs, and this kid had a job stocking shoes in the shoe store, getting them out, getting them ready. And so Kimball found this kid in the back room, and he decided that he would confront him about the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, about giving his life to God. So Kimball talked to him. And that young man started a relationship that day with Jesus. His name, you might remember, his name was Dwight L. Moody. Some of you have heard that name. Great preacher. There's a Moody Institute. It's over by Chicago, I think. School for young people to learn about God and become like Dwight Moody. In his lifetime, Moody touched two continents for God and untold thousands came to Christ, became believers. Now, that's a good story in and of itself, but there's more to the story, because Moody, as he preached, touched the heart of another young man named Wilbur Chapman. I'd never heard of Wilbur either. You probably haven't. And Chapman became an evangelist, and he also preached to thousands. And one day, a professional baseball player came to one of his meetings. That guy was having a day off, and he attended Chapman's meeting. And that is how a young man named Billy Sunday became a Christian. Heard of Billy Sunday? Some of you, yeah? Yep. And Billy Sunday quit baseball. Can you imagine that? Young baseball player quits baseball because he wanted to become part of Chapman's team, and that team went around and did a lot of ministry, and Billy ministered with Chapman until Chapman decided to take the pastor at a large church. And then Billy Sunday just took over and went out on his own. And he did evangelistic crusades. And Billy Sunday's meetings were actually more powerful than those of some of the men before him. And he had great influence. And one of the people that he influenced and that testified of his influence was a guy named Mordecai Ham. Now, you probably don't know Mordecai Ham either. I didn't. Ham was a very scholarly, dignified gentleman. But he was known to do unusual things. Like, Ham would rent a hearse and drive it through town, through the streets, advertising his meetings. Still wondering how that worked. Trying to picture that. Come to the meetings on the side of a hearse. When Ham came to Charlotte, North Carolina, there was a kid down there in high school, and he vowed that he would not go to any of those meetings, though a lot of people were going. His name was Billy Frank, and he did eventually go because Ham announced that he knew for a fact that there was a house of ill repute across the street from the local high school, and that made some of the male students mad that he had outed the house. And so they were going to go challenge him one night. Billy went to watch. Wanted to see what was going to happen. And that night, Billy was so intrigued by what he heard that he went back the next night. And at the invitation, he responded and gave his life to God. How many of you think you know who Billy Frank was? Billy or William Franklin Graham. He was an evangelist who we think preached to more people than anybody who ever lived. The estimates are that Graham's lifetime, and this was as of 2008, including radio and television broadcasts, that he had probably touched somewhere around 2.2 billion people. 2.2 billion people. That's crazy to think that that many people heard the gospel from Billy Graham. And here's the question. Would it have ever happened without Edward Kimball? I'm not saying God couldn't have made it happen anyway in spite of Ed Kimball, but wouldn't you like to be Ed Kimball in heaven? I mean, wouldn't it be fun to be Ed? Yeah. You know, to have all these people, because I think we'll know the whole story when we get there. The scripture says we'll know even as we are known. I think we'll know the whole story. Or maybe that's how we spend part of the first few billion years, just going over everybody's story. You know, a movie of your entire life, 100 years, wouldn't seem like much time in a place where there is no time. So maybe that's what heaven will look like. Now, I would like to show a little video.
We were neighbors. I'm the little redhead girl that Nelson Nancy invited to church. And that was in 1962, so 42 years ago. And my sister and brother. I was 8, my sister was 6, my brother was 2. And Nancy and Nellis took us to church every week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Every week. And I can remember my mom one time saying, well, you know, they might not have room for you today because I saw they have visitors. But we were so excited to get to church, we still got dressed. And we were just anticipating, are they going to come and get us today? Are they going to come? Because there's a lot of visitors with them. But you know, they made room for us. And I remember Gary came that day, said, it's time to go, it's time to go, because we never want to be late with Nellis. We learned that. To be punctual. And I'm a missionary of 24 years, and that's what we always took with us. We were never late. We were always early on time. But as children, we learned that from Nancy and Nellis. We learned to be committed. We learned to our yay be yay and our nay be nay. And I can remember never praying at the table as a child, but I can remember going into their house and Nellis leading in prayer over the food. And I remember, when I grow up, I want to have a husband like that. I want to have someone who will love his kids and discipline his kids. And I do remember the discipline. I think maybe that's why, hopefully, we didn't cause you too much trouble, because we heard Danny very often get in trouble. Wait till your father gets home. And we're thinking, oh dear, oh dear. But they brought us to church, and there all of us children met a family. Preacher and Pinky and Ed and Beth. And even the Florences. I remember as a child, them, they were, Bobby, I can remember in particular, would always shake our hands as young children. Our parents weren't there. But we were made to feel like this is our family. And the Greeks were our family. Nellis and Nancy, you were my spiritual mom and dad. No doubt about it. My brother and sister and I always felt that from them. The love for their family. Nancy, all of your children were like my sisters and brothers. You know, and even when I got married, we were laughing because Amy didn't want me to get married to Ed because I would move away. She sacrificed me 4 years at Bible school, and now here I am going to get married and move away. So in my wedding picture, Amy has this glare like, and I say, smile, Amy, smile. She was not a happy camper. She wasn't. I can remember, though, a scripture that really I've held dear. Is it says in Psalm 145:4, one generation will praise your works to another and declare his mighty acts. It's time for the generation of the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren to arise, because Nellis has got to finish his work. The Lord says, well done, Nellis. You've done your work. Now it's time for us. And I can tell you that because of their influence on our lives, because Preacher and Pinky and Bev, that I got a missionary call at 12 years old at our church. And God's opened many doors for us. We were stationed in London 24 years. And I can say, I was trying to calculate, there were at least, I would say, 6,000 inner city young people that heard the gospel through a little girl, neighborhood girl, who was from a very dysfunctional family. My mom did her best. My dad had mental illness, but we had a family, and we always call you the normal family. That's what said the normal family. Meaning the normal family who had a mom and dad. Nancy was at home taking care of the children, and Nellis was a faithful worker, and he was a deacon. And I think if you could embody what a deacon is, Nellis Greek was the deacon. He was the deacon. He fulfilled all the roles. But he cared for us as neighborhood children, packed us in the car long before the days of seatbelts. And I remember when I turned 16, I prayed, Lord, let me get my license, because if I do, I want to be like Nels. I want to take young people to church. And I can say, even in London, sometimes it took me 2 hours to get all the kids home. But we carried on that tradition. And I just want to encourage you, carry on the tradition. A rich heritage of faith. Don't let it go. Just don't let it go. And we love you. We love Nellis. We just love y'all. God bless.
I was thinking about it a while back, and I thought, that's a good story. We need to hear it again. I woke up early Friday morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that, and I had this picture in my mind. I don't know that I would call it a vision. It wasn't like I was, you know, stuck on flat on my back in bed looking and going, wow, you know, it wasn't one of those, but I had this picture in my mind, and it was Nellis. And I'm sure, you know, Nancy's right there with him right now. Every so often, another person would roll into heaven. I don't know, maybe they didn't roll. Maybe they walked in. They would arrive in heaven, and there were Nellis would be, and they would walk up to him, and they would say in a British accent, thank you for taking a little girl to church. Because that little girl became a missionary and came to England and made a difference in my life. And I got saved in a meeting because that little girl took me to church. Do you think that what Nellis and Nancy did was a hard thing? I mean, is it really that complicated? Especially they were next door neighbors, right? But they just wanted to see those kids exposed to the things of God. And I know that sometimes there are people who can't do those kind of things, but most of us can probably help someone somewhere, somehow. I don't think it was a huge burden to them. I don't know if it took a lot of time and effort or not. Probably not that much. I can think of things that take more time and effort, you know, that would be hard. But what I wanted to kind of get at this morning in this message is that sometimes it is just the little things that make a big difference. In fact, they can make a huge difference. You know, you've heard two stories now of someone making a difference. Someone that we all knew the name of, Nellis Greet. Some that we'd never heard of before, Mr. Kimball. I think sometimes we don't do the little things because we think they're just not that important. You know, it's not a big deal. It's not that important. It's just a little thing. But sometimes it's the very littlest thing that can make the biggest difference. So I want to look at a scripture. And if you've got something that you can look at the scripture with me, grab it. I was laughing to myself a little bit. I went to see the Jesus Revolution movie for the second time. I've never seen any movie in the theater twice, but I did Jesus Revolution. I just felt like it had some things to speak to me specifically. I'm not trying to tell you all it's the best movie ever. I liked it, though. I'm very anxious to encourage other pastors especially to see it because there were mistakes made by pastors back during the Jesus movement. Sometimes trying to walk that line of holiness, they didn't understand the line of letting the Holy Spirit do his job and clean people up, you know. We sometimes want them to get all fixed before we make them welcome, and sometimes we have to make them welcome before they'll ever get fixed. Anyway, I noticed in the movie that Chuck Smith was telling all the people, hold up your Bible. You know, back before we had iPads and iPhones and all the things that we've got, everybody was, I would do that most Sundays. Hold up your Bible. And it kind of came to a point where it was kind of like people were doing this, and I was kind of like, I don't know what to say. So I stopped saying, hold up your Bible, and now I'm kind of sorry I did. Maybe I should change it. So how many of you brought your Bible with you today? How many of you brought, like, several Bibles with you today? Yeah, isn't that amazing? That's not, we don't have to stop that thing, maybe. Okay, so open in your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. And by the way, you know, Bible just really is just the word book. It just happened to be the book because it sold more copies than any other book ever. So the Bible is just book. So now you've got, you know, something electronic, but you still got the Word of God in it. Matthew chapter 13, look with me to verse 9. By the way, you ought to be happy because I remember, you know, I still miss it. Used to hear people flipping through the pages, trying to find their place, you know, and people didn't even know where Matthew was in some cases, so they were like, oh, I got to look at the front, you know. Now you can just like, Matt usually just says M-A-T-T. The apple take you right there. Matthew 13, verse 3, Jesus speaking, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some seed fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, yielding a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now just one more scripture. You don't have to turn to this one. I'll just read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just two verses, 6 and 7. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward. Everybody say reward. Reward. According to his own labor. You know, the scripture in many places encourages us that we should make an effort to reach out to see lives touched, souls saved, we like to say. And that process is often, you know, tied into this planting and sowing and reaping and all that stuff. It's all right there. Because that was, they were an agricultural people mainly that Jesus was speaking to. I got to thinking about what that looked like. Because sometimes I think, again, the little things are just, we don't think they're a big deal. I don't know how many times people have told me a testimony. And it was just a little testimony. But they just told me the testimony. And it affected me really well. Maybe I wasn't exuberant enough about it. But it was like later you think about it and you're thinking, that's really cool. And sometimes we think, well, my testimony's not, you know, I didn't raise anybody from the dead, so I'm not going to make a big deal about what God did for me. No. Everything that God does for you, every little thing is important. Think about a seed. Most seeds aren't very big. Most seeds are pretty little. You can carry a bunch of seeds in your pocket. They may seem like they're not much, but sometimes when they're planted, they can grow into something pretty big. Maybe that little thing that God did for you doesn't even seem as big to you as it does to somebody else who hears your story. I want to encourage us all just to do some little things. Some little things. And do a lot of little things. You know, they scattered the seed. They just scattered it. It wasn't all going to fall on the exact perfect spot. But they weren't skimpy with their seed. They were willing to risk a little seed and just throw it out there. Who knows? Who knows what'll happen? This week, I was contacted on Facebook. And it was a person who'd won, and they had right on their page, you know, their profile, they had a page. They had won the lottery, $793 million. And they contacted me and wanted to know if they could just give me some money. So I had fun with it for a while. I actually told them that I knew a family that I didn't need anything, I told them, but I knew a family that could use a handicap van, just in case they were legit. Kind of knew right from the beginning they weren't. And they offered to give me $50,000. All right. They just needed my name and phone number. And so I gave them the church name and phone number and a link to where they could give online. And then they wanted to know if I could just transfer that from my bank account. I said, I'm not authorized to do that. Click. You know, they didn't click, but I didn't hear anything more after them. After that, I did offer to pray for them and told them I knew they were, you know, fakes. Unless, of course, Marlene, just keep your eye open on our account, you know, in case 50,000 goes there, you guys are getting a new van. That's all I can tell you. Somebody said, well, that was a waste of time. Maybe. Maybe I planted a seed. I gave him a word of knowledge. I don't even remember what it was. Just said, are you feeling sick here in your body? I think it was the base of the neck. I felt like maybe they had something going on at the base of their neck. So I thought maybe they'd respond. You know, if they got something going on at the base of their neck, and even though they know I know that they're not good people, I've done it before. I've prayed for people who were trying to scam me. It's been kind of interesting. Did I waste my seed? I don't think so. Who knows what they may experience down the road? Somebody else who's a Christian may run across them. They may have some other experience where that crazy guy from Defiance was trying to talk me into getting my soul saved. And now here's another person trying to talk me into getting my soul saved, you know. Who knows how it may accumulate? Who knows how it may work? So do lots of things. Not all of them will have immediate great results that you can see, but you never know what might happen. Smiles can go miles. Just smile. Get to know the guy that you go in. Well, most of you probably pay at the pump, right? I do, but if I don't, like when the receipt doesn't come out of the pump, I go in and ask for one. And I'm always real nice, and I always try to take an interest in the person behind the counter. Maybe you just take an interest in a person who's behind a counter at McDonald's or who knows where. And you just do your best to just kind of encourage them and touch their life. There's a guy in at Walmart, and every time I see him, I call him by name. He's out, he's greeting, he's in a wheelchair, and I just keep calling him by name. I'm just waiting on that moment that he feels like he knows me a little bit more. We can have a little more of a conversation. Every time I see him, I greet him by name. A little prayer, even one that doesn't seem to have done anything, can have a huge result. And I've told you the story of people, told them before, of stories of people that I prayed for, and nothing seemed to happen when I prayed, but days later, weeks later, months later, they come back to me and say, wow. Wow, this is what God did. And sometimes it's just a seed that goes toward their soul being saved. Just listening to someone can be hugely refreshing. Maybe you don't say a thing. I do believe it can feel like water on a thirsty soul. Some plant, some water. God gives the increase. I think as we practice scattering little things around and splashing around in the water of life. Just splash around. Have fun. As we do that, I think we'll gain some confidence. I think we'll find some opportunities that we might not have found otherwise. I think the timing of God will get really good in us, and we'll learn to do things. We'll have some days that didn't work out so well, and we'll have some days that went really way better than we could have ever imagined as we just plant seeds and water. Something unexpected might actually just happen because Holy Spirit's there. And His timing's always right. As I said, it feels like another wave of revival, another move of God could be coming on us. So let me ask, how many here have ever tried surfing? One? One other person besides me. I tried surfing. I actually got fairly decent in just a very short period of time at body surfing. And then I got on a surfboard once, I think. And, you know, when you get on a surfboard, you see them on, you know, you see them on TV. You know, they're balancing themselves, their legs are bent, they're on the board. I got to tell you, though, that's not where you start out. You swim out to where the waves are coming in, and you're on your belly, swimming on the board. And then when you get out there, you don't just stand up and wait. Because if you do that, here's what it looks like if you stand up and wait, if you can manage not to fall, which is the trick anyway. But if you stand up and wait, you'll be like this, and here comes the wave. Because that's not how it works. If you're sitting on the board, same thing. You just bob. You're just a bobber. You go up, and you come back down. You might move a little bit toward the shore, but mostly you're just going to go up, woohoo, and come back down. Whoa. And then you wait a little while, and here comes another. Woo-hoo-hoo! Up you go, and then back down again. That's all there is. So what you have to do is you have to get on your chest on that board, and when the wave is coming and you can see it, you have to get your arms in the water, and you need to paddle toward the shore. And as you're paddling toward the shore, then the wave and the speed of your surfboard get linked. And then you ride the wave and it takes you in. If you don't get quite up to speed, you'll get a little ways and then you just, you know, you'll be done. So you go back out and you try it again. That's what I found with body surfing. I got to the point where I can get myself up in front of the wave and the wave's just carrying me. But if I didn't make just a little effort, and sometimes, you know, a little more effort, you got to just go after it a little bit. You know, it's kind of like praise and worship, by the way. You know, praise and worship, the team did wonderful today, didn't they? Yeah, come on. But if you really want to get everything out of it, you might want to just get your little arms moving. Do a little something so that you can catch that. And this is true of everything that we do in the kingdom. That sowing, gotta get it out there. Not all of it's going to come up. Not all of it's going to come up in the right place. Not all of it's going to be able to live once it comes up as long as you wish it would. And some of it, you know, gets scattered in and thorns, the scripture says, gets around it. Weeds get around and choke, and it's alive, but it's not very fruitful. Does it make sense? So just do a little bit of something. It doesn't have to be that much. But I tell you what's funny about it is if you start to doing it, pretty soon you like it. I know a lot of people who started out in worship with just, you know, just the cactus. And the next thing you know, they get the other hand up. They're a double cactus. One day you come in and they're running around the room. Just a little momentum can change things so much. Who knows? Someday in heaven, you might find yourself surrounded by people that you never met, but somehow they know your name and they come looking for you. I want to read just a couple more passages. One was quoted by the missionary, Lori Hornbeck, who was at Nellis' funeral, who was the little girl next door. And she quoted this, Psalm 145, verse 4, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." When she read that, she was challenging us all. You know, Nellis had run his race. He had finished his race. He had kept the faith. She was just trying to encourage us. You're next. It's your turn. And there's truth in that, but I'd like to just give it a little bit of a different slant. Let me just read another verse to you from Luke chapter 1, verse 17. "He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Some of us in this room are a little closer to our end than we are our beginning. Now, I'm going to live to be 180, so I got a long time to go. But the rest of you, you know, if you're under 50, you might have more time. But if you're over 50, you probably have a little less time than you did before 50. See what I'm saying? But we're still positioned to fulfill these verses. These verses that suggest that one generation should declare things to another. I don't expect the children to declare to us. I expect us to declare to the children. Does that make sense in your head? Like Nellis was declaring and showing and living out his faith in front of this young woman, and she then in turn lived it out as a missionary in London, England. And souls were touched. People's lives were changed. There's still time for all of us in this room to make a difference in someone's life. And those of us especially who have been around a little longer and know the most about the Lord, you know, we ought to know something by now. We have much to declare about the goodness of God. We have testimonies. We should start writing them down and making sure we keep them. Give them to our own family. Give them to the next generation. My wife and I have even talked about this. I've written one book. I've got three or four others that I could write. I don't know when I'm going to get around to it. I don't know if it's even necessary that I write them. We'll see what the Lord does. But we've talked about some of the things that God did with us over the years. How time after time after time after time after time he came through. And you get to the point where you've kind of forgotten some of them. Anybody have that experience beside me? Yeah. Yeah. And those things are huge because he's a God who loves us and wants us to see good things and then wants us to declare those good things to another generation. I've had people make a comment, your church is getting a little old looking. It wasn't somebody outside the church. It was people right here in the church. It was old people. We can declare his works. We can turn our hearts toward another generation. If I have arrived, and I know I haven't, but if I've even come close to arriving, maybe I can help them now by giving back and giving out of my life into another generation. And I want to say this, I'm old enough now. Later this year, I may be finally taking my Social Security. I am on Medicare. I'm old. So I can say this. I want to be very careful because there's a retirement mentality out there that says, oh, I've worked all these years. Now I'm just going to sit around and relax. Spirit is stupid on steroids. Let me say that again. The spirit is stupid on steroids. You know, this is a time when we maybe will have more time because we're not working a regular job anymore. That's not going to be true of me yet, but some of you. And I encourage you, enjoy that time, but also take advantage of the opportunity because there's a generation that needs what you got. Amen. There's a generation of people who need what you've got. And if you get to the point where you're like, well, I can just sit back now and let them do it. Well, I do think it's time to let them do it sometimes. You have to let them do it. And sometimes you have to watch them when they do it wrong. Learn to giggle. That's what you got to learn. You just got to relax and let it happen. Well, they're going to mess everything up. Yes, they are. Just like you did. So we have this glorious opportunity because I want to be. I have no idea. You know, I'm not a well-known, nationally known, syndicated preacher known across the land. And thank goodness I'm not, by the way, because the heresy hunters out there are just bored stiff because they don't have a ministry of their own. All they can do is chase around all these guys and make complaints about them. I know some of them aren't doing exactly the way they're supposed to do, but I'm going to let the Lord worry about that. I got enough to keep me busy. Focusing on what God's given me to do, not to worry about what somebody else is doing. I don't have a household name, but who knows, when I get to heaven, something I said or did that I didn't even realize I said or did might have an effect. I can't even sing the song anymore, but Wanda used to go up to CCNO, and she would take a guitar and play a song that I wrote for some of the ladies up there. And years later, some woman came up, and somehow she found out I wrote the song and thanked me for it. I can't even remember how it goes. But it was just something that Wanda heard me sing, and Wanda picked it up, and she took it up there, and it was a seed that was planted and made a difference in somebody's life. You never know what's going to make a difference in somebody's life. Just throw it out there. Go for it. And you might be able to be a blessing to some neighbor kid. And that neighbor kid might not be a missionary, but they might have a child who gets raised up in a church and they become a missionary. Or they might even become the next Billy Graham. And maybe it's your own grandkids or even your great-grandkids. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get great-grandkids, honey. Our kids started having kids late. That's all right. Yeah, that's a blessing, too, in a way. I'm going to live to be 180, so I'll see my great-great-great-grandkids. Anyway, you know, maybe it's your kids or your grandkids that you'll make the biggest difference in their lives and help them to avoid some of the stupid that you did. How many here have done stupid besides me?
No.
No, not John. Well, I hope John avoided some stupid because he was hanging around with us. That's what I'm hoping. No, not as much as he wished he had. Anyway, what I want to say is just don't lay back on your surfboard and enjoy the swell as it raises and lowers. It may seem really fun. Woohoo, revival! And if this thing doesn't manifest into a really big wave that goes across the land, let's just go ahead and splash around where we are and have whatever we can. You know, there's always a little bit of movement. Just get out in front of it. It will take you further than you think. Catch the wave. Catch the wave, saints. Catch the wave.